Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y98 presents the St. Louis City Soccer Report on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown St. Louis studio of KMOX for the St. Louis City Soccer Report. I'm Jen Cease, alongside John Camp, who is running things for me on the controls. We are missing one, John, and it's Nate Gatter. Nate Gatter is on a football call, but not the football that most of us listening to this show grew up knowing as soccer, the actual football. Nate has done a great job. He does a great job not only on the show, but as a play-by-play broadcaster. A little bit earlier in August, he took on a bigger role with Westwood One Sports this year. He's currently on a call right now missing this. We miss him, but he'll be back with us soon. I don't think anytime soon Nate is going to completely abandon the St. Louis City Soccer Report. So we'll have him back soon. Hope he has the best time on his call. So we've got a lot to get to for today's show. We'll, of course, catch up with Dale Schilly, as we always do. At around 8:30, we'll hear from Giannis Horn, St. Louis City new defender. It was a great time. Me and Tom Timmerman from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch got to visit with him a little bit, get to know him. He's only been with the team like 3 weeks, so he's had a crash course in not only MLS soccer, St. Louis, and St. Louis Heat. So we talked to him a little bit about that, and we'll, of course, catch up with George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee, on some of those calls from the Portland game. There's one in particular that I'm interested in reviewing with him, the violent conduct on Portland's Mora, talking a little bit about what that means, how that's set up, and what does that set up a team like City to approach the next game in terms of aggressiveness and managing, of course, their own cards and things like that going into the remaining part of really the season. Only several games, it seems like, left. Just a few at City Park. Numbers-wise, I do believe, I'm not a numbers cruncher myself, but I do believe from the number crunchers that are better at it than me that there is the slightest of chances that City can still get in to the playoffs. There is a wild card spot that you can play for, but it does involve winning out. There really is no room, of course, for losing and no room anymore for ties. So we can talk a little bit about that with Dale, of course. And also on the flip side of the hour at 9:05, we'll visit with one of my favorite Apple analyst broadcasters, Ross Smith. He's been on the show before. Matt Pauley had him on the Sports Open line. I need to have a talk, John, with Matt Pauley, because if there's a soccer report, I say it's keep your hands off of soccer guests. Just stick to baseball, right? Just stick to hockey that's coming up. Stick to football. Mitts off soccer guests. But we'll revisit with Ross again. Want to talk to him a little bit more about what Matt talked to him about and expand a little bit more about what those chances are. Ross played himself in the USL. He knows very well, such as myself, what it's like to come from behind and what might be possible for St. Louis City. Then we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk a little bit more then about local soccer. When I say local, I'm talking SIUE because it's not that far away. It's the other side of the Bronze Boot. Nate and I spent the last couple of weeks talking about the SLU side of the contests that are coming up, the SLU women and the SLU men taking on the SIUE Cougars. We'll talk to Derek Burton, the women's coach, and hear an earlier recorded conversation with Kale Wasserman, the men's coach, who are currently tonight taking on Ohio State. So a lot to get to. Before we take our first break, though, let's take a moment to hear some conversation that the media had with John Hackworth just yesterday on not the hottest day of the week. So thankfully, we were able to talk to him when it wasn't quite that hot. But he did talk about the fact that the first couple of days of training this week were hot ones, and it was definitely tough.
We've had tough sessions, but we kept to our plan. You know, you have to adapt to the environment in our sport, so it wasn't like we wanted to do something different. We had a plan for the week, and we stuck to it. The players have battled through it. I think it's good preparation. I'm hoping that it's very hot and humid, and so the LA boys will melt in the Missouri sun.
And it was pretty hot. Not the melting, it was the prior 2 days. So definitely taking advantage of training in the environment that's likely to be on Sunday. I've looked at the weather app. I've been checking, and it seems like by the time we get to 1:45 kickoff against LA Galaxy, it could be a hot, sticky one. LA, of course, has warm weather, doesn't quite have the humidity that St. Louis has. So John Hackworth hoping that that might play into St. Louis's favor. Another thing playing into the favor is the fact that he's got a lot more players to choose from returning players coming back to the fold to new players settling in. It's not a bad problem to have.
When I first took this on, it was like just trying to get enough bodies to fill the game day roster. And so now we have some tough choices to make. And those are really hard because I think we have a group of guys that are all working, you know, very efficiently and competing and in all the right ways. But you can't put everybody out in the 11 and you can't put everybody on the game day sheet.
And what he's talking about, too, is a couple of different factors there. One, Joao Klaus training with the team. He's probably not a start, but he's eligible for Sunday. I don't know what that means. I don't know that I can see Joao Klaus getting a whole lot of time, perhaps making an appearance. Definitely not till the second half, I don't think. Rasmus Alm training with the team, but a little bit more conservative with him. I do believe, if my memory serves correctly, he was injured before Joao Klaus was, but he's still training with some pain. So John Hackworth does not want to move him back until he's pain-free. Joachim Nilsson had a couple of good, really good days and took another knock. That was yesterday at practice. So questionable for him. Giannis Horn and Henry Kessler, they're fine. They're not injured, but they are not also fit. We've got Giannis Horn, who's, as John Hackworth said, 100% coming out of preseason. So he has a ways to go before he's fully match fit. And Henry Kessler is coming in. He was probably fitter, but did have a break before he could play. So they both need some time. And last but not least, Djibouti Baum. He did participate in some parts of the training. I personally was able to see yesterday at practice. However, there were parts of the training that he wasn't in. And all we do know is I can only go by the words that Coach Hackworth used and that he is eligible for selection on Sunday. A little bit more from John Hackworth. Part of dealing with the big roster and people who are available, whether they're new or they're coming back, is dealing with player expectations. Everybody wants to start.
I think it starts with the culture of trying to make sure that this is about something bigger than any one individual and that they have to feel like they're part of something. And that's tough as a coach in particular. You don't select them for the 11 or you don't select them for the game day sheet. But we try really hard, you know, all week to talk about the role that everybody has to play. And if they're going to move from one position on the depth chart to the next, that's due to the fact that they earned it, you know, and if they didn't earn it, they should be fighting for it. And even if they just fought for it and it pushed the guy above them, we value that.
And notice the words there, depth chart. When you talk about depth chart, you're talking about, in a player's mind, am I starting? Am I not? Am I playing most of the minutes or am I only getting a few minutes? So managing those expectations, but also sometimes you use a player differently. It might be somebody who's starter worthy, but the role you need them to have in the next game is not what you want a starter to do. You want them maybe to be what my former coach used to call super sub. Somebody to come out, mix things up, and he gives a good example of that.
As a staff, we had to make the last couple weeks is, do you start Indy or do you start Nukvi? And you know, Nukvi's been in good form, and so that nod has gone to Nukvi in the starting role, but Indy has been really good off the bench. Indy gives us a little bit more versatility too. Comes on off the bench against Club America, played fantastic, scores a great goal, and we don't start him the next, you know, game. That's on me. I take total responsibility for that, but trying to get him to understand the role that we're asking him to play and understanding from everybody that they're going to have a role on a specific game day, and whether that's to start or to come off the bench, they're valuable.
And if you're one of those, like many are, that like to guess at what the starting lineup might be, I think that a comment like that from Coach John Hackworth makes it that much harder to guess at what it could be, because they may perform, the last performance may put them in a starting position, but maybe the role given, the person that they're going to be opposing on the field, might put them in a different role on any given day. And last but not least, he talked a little bit about the fact that it's not just the execution part, the tactical part of the game, it's also the mental part.
And it's a little bit of, hey, we have the lead, let's not lose it, you know, and I want them to have the opposite mentality. I want them to have, let's go win this. You can't train mentality or tactics separately. You have to do it together. So far this week, that's exactly what we're working on. So we've at least identified what we need to do, but it is something that a team has to take ownership of, that, you know, it was a little bit of mentality and a little bit of execution. We're trying to fix all those things, and that's all we can try to do.
And I saw it yesterday, actually, at practice. They were not just working on the tactical part. It wasn't just a scrimmage. There was a lot of stopping, a lot of explaining. And alongside their coach, their director of mental performance, Dr. Greg Young, who was alongside not just sitting in an office waiting to talk and meet with players, but they're integrated into the training, integrated into that mental aspect of any given moment of the game. Will be interesting to see how that plays out in City's next game. More to come. We've got a visit with Dale Schilly. He's the St. Louis City Academy director and also the game analyst on Y98. Talk to him a little bit about what Coach John Hackworth's thoughts were and what City needs on Sunday to take it to LA Galaxy. More to come on the Soccer Report right here on KMOX.
Y98 St. Louis City Soccer Report continues on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Yeah, I'm most excited for the guys that haven't seen it, that have played in there in the Leagues Cup, and they thought it was really good, they thought it was loud. Well, I can't wait until they see it on game day, in particular when some of those guys are walking out for the starting 11. I mean, you all can see it, it's electric, and so that'll be nice. And again, I want it to be hot and humid, so I'm very... good welcome to our friends from LA.
I think Coach John Hackworth might just get his whiz for the 1:45 start at City Park. City taking on the LA Galaxy. Joining us now, Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director and analyst on Y98. Dale, I think it's going to be a hot one for us.
Well, I got to be honest, I haven't looked at the weather that far out. But you know, I did like the comments about just what it's like to walk out onto a field and feel the support of the crowd and the noise and the ruckus. I mean, you know, I was at the soccer park coaching those games in front of 5,000 people.
I brought teams to those.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it's like for John and the guys in front of 22,000 and, you know, just as close as everybody is, and the way the sound stays in the stadium. You know, we that's the one thing that, we get to sit up in the broadcast booth and we get to see everything. With the headsets on, sometimes you can't really hear how loud it really is. I think John's words are good. And the guys that are new to the team, when they see what it's like for a home game, for a league match, they're not going to believe it.
Yeah, for sure. And it kind of thinking also that a lot, actually several of these players have come in either during like Leagues Cup play or when they couldn't play. I don't know that any of the new ones necessarily have had the full dose of MLS at City Park.
No, July 18th was when they became eligible, I think. And you know, I think we had the Sporting Kansas City game, but I remember Toyshirt had traveled maybe the game before. That was a Seattle Sporting Kansas City combination, right? That's the one that you stepped in for.
Yeah, yeah.
So he traveled, but he didn't play. So, yeah, this is new territory for all of them.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, it's one of those things talking about, got to revisit, of course, the Portland game. You were there. I was back here in the Y98 studio. And talk about, I mean, I don't think I went to bed for a couple of hours even getting home because the spinning of the head, 8 goals scored, nobody wins. It's probably one of those common frustrations about the game of soccer when people maybe aren't the fans and they're frustrated with the soccer is it ends in a tie, but you've certainly got 8 goals from it. Was there a point, Dale, a certain play or, you know, I don't know if you have a minute mark where you thought, oh, no, it's only going down from here?
Well, you know, it not that I felt like it was only going down from here, but certainly it felt like that it was never going to end. The goals were all, and the chances were only going to keep coming.
Yeah.
Because they had so much of the ball and so many chances and so many guys getting forward. And it felt like that every possession Portland was going to have a chance at goal. And sure enough, you know, it just felt that way that, that they were going to that they could score at any possession. And even when it was 4-4 and they're down a man, I think I still said on the air, this may not be done yet. And
you did.
You know, Horn blocks two shots in the box that were, you know, dangerous moments where, you know, we could have walked out of there losing that game 5-4, you know, in the waning seconds. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that there was one moment, but we just know how dangerous they are, and you know how talented they are, and that that they had every opportunity, would have every opportunity to score goals. On the flip side, you know, we outperformed our XG, thought we were good, but we have to expend so much energy and we have to push so many numbers forward to create those chances. We were just opened up all the time.
You know, I played some clips from John Hackworth talking with us, the media, yesterday, and I know you're around the facility and talked about it's, you know, you're a coach too. It's a good problem to have, having so many players coming back. Alm's not probably there. Klaus being close enough to at least probably be eligible for the roster, whether he gets picked or not, we'll see. But a lot of players fighting for time, and also he's sometimes having to ask those players who maybe deserve to be in a starting role to be in a substitution role based on what is needed on that given game.
But because of our successes in the League's Cup, we had a sort of continuation from the first half of the season through the League's Cup. So we ended up with a number of games. We ended up with a good training environment. So the leap for the guys that are coming back off an injury into a first 11 position is a pretty big one. Had we only played two games in the League's Cup and we had 3 weeks of downtime, the leap wouldn't have been so large. But it's nothing against the guys that are coming back. It's just a really big step to be able to go from not competing to having to compete at a high level when the guys have been competing for, you know, conceivably, you know, without a break. I mean, they had a little bit of a break in there, but really it was like 10 days, and you might have that during the course of a league season. So it's a big step for the guys now coming back. They're going to have to ease their way in with 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, because the guys that have been competing are going to be ahead of them right now.
And, you know, should City take the lead with LA Galaxy, it seems like the mental focus is not to sit back and try not to lose, but to keep the City focus on we're going for the win, quite possibly keeping the press high, keeping the point of engagement higher in the field rather than sitting back, as some felt that City did a little bit toward the end of the Portland game.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I think that's a great conversation that people can have at the Corner Tavern, because that's one that I think, you know, what's wrong with being able to sit in your half of the field and defend for a little bit, a period of time? And I'm not talking about going into a game where that's your plan. I'm saying that when a team like Portland or a team like LA that will attack with seven players and they'll only keep two center backs and one holding midfield at home and everybody else goes forward and they force you back on your heels in front of your own goal, you have to be comfortable and confident in your ability to defend individually and your ability to defend as a group to keep them away. And at some point they'll run out of ideas and then we can get on the ball. And the other thing, Jen, is we've shown that we're good enough on the ball to now build up and play in possession and create chances. So whereas in the past we'd have to sit back and defend and we'd have to play big and try to get out and strike at somebody on the counter, now we can win the ball, play a little bit, knock it back to Berkey once we've broken the pressure. The other team will drop off, and now we can go on the build-up and we can start to hem the other team back in their end. So I understand why people want to press forward and keep the game in the front half of the field, but I think you have to be good enough to be a team that can compete to win championships, to also defend in your half with confidence and do it in a secure way that teams can't penetrate you the way we got penetrated the other night.
Okay, so now we've got LA Galaxy coming up. Granted, at home, John Hackworth's hoping for a hot, humid day. Maybe take advantage of LA Galaxy not quite having the same weather, but it is a different schedule for both LA Galaxy and for St. Louis City. A 1:45 start changes a little bit of how you approach the day, and LA Galaxy at the moment as top of the Western Conference.
Well, I think first thing is all of us are going to love an afternoon start. I think we had one last year, didn't we?
We did, and then we had one a little bit earlier this year at like 3:45, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, awesome. You know, just playing in the afternoon, tailgate late morning. coming to the stadium at
well, I know where you'll be before the game.
No, I won't. But, you know, just getting in there and being able to get out at a decent time in the middle of the afternoon game. And that's soccer growing up is Sunday afternoons. And, you know, that's an awesome kickoff time. But yeah, I mean, look, LA is really good as we think that Portland's front four are. LA's are better. Ricky Puch is out for the game, I believe. I think he's suspended.
I believe that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so Ricky Puch is off. Royce, will he step in and play for him? Possibly. I would think by the numbers, Ricky Puch is the highest ranked 10 in the league. He has more touches per possession than anybody in the league. He's willing to come deep and get balls off the center backs and run and beat players and run with the ball for 50 or 60 yards to create opportunities for his teammates. So not having him hurts the Galaxy in a big way. The other thing that I think hurts them is I'm not sure what's going on with Jovalich. I think he might be injured, but he was a 9, a box center forward that I thought was really good that allowed Paintsil to play wide and Peck to play wide. Now, with Jovalich on the bench, for whatever reason, but I think it's an injury, now Paintsil has been playing as a center forward. He is far better facing the goal than he is with his back to the goal. He plays with his face to the goal when he's playing as a right winger or left winger. He's having to play with his back to the goal when he's playing as a center forward, and his movements aren't as good. He doesn't recognize space in behind when he's got his back to the goal and can't see him. So there's a couple things going in our favor, but they're super dangerous, really, really good attacking team.
All right, thanks, Dale. I look forward to hopefully not as hot and humid a day as maybe John Hackworth wants, but a fun day on Sunday afternoon game nonetheless.
All right, I'll see you Sunday.
All right, thanks, Dale. That's Dale Schilly, our game analyst off on our Y98 broadcast with Joey Zanaboni and myself in the booth at City Park. He's also the St. Louis City Academy director. He's super busy all the time, always soccer all the time for Dale Schilly. More to come. We want to hear from Giannis Horn, our St. Louis City's probably newest defender, I think, at this point in time. I myself and Tom Timmerman from the Post-Dispatch got to sit down, or stand up really, and talk to him a little bit after practice yesterday. We'll hear from him after the break. More to come on the St. Louis City Soccer Report right here on KMOX.
The Y98 St. Louis City Soccer Report continues on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Uh-oh, into the box is Moreno off the corner. He centers. They get a shot. It's blocked in the last second by Horn. Another one, and Giannis steps in front. Oh, two on the doorstep. Giannis Horn bails us out in his team debut twice.
Yep, that was Giannis Horn, as you could hear, double shot block as he came into the game. He actually subbed in later in the game, kind of made his MLS debut. He subbed in, I'm looking at here at the minute that he came in late, was a 69th minute, came in for Jay Reed at the left back, got some action right away, got some action later, saving not only Roman Berkey, but Giannis Horn saving what we had as a tie. That was 90 plus 12 minutes of added time in that. That's something else we can ask George Gansner and the laws of the game next. But Tom Timmerman and I got a chance to, with the Post-Dispatch, got a chance to talk to Giannis after practice yesterday, and he told us a little bit about how he was settling in.
It's good. Everything is new for me. First time in a new country with my family. The facility is perfect. The stadium is perfect. We love the city. Some good restaurants. We found an apartment. Everything is good at the moment.
And it's a hot day today. Yeah. I myself have visited Germany 3 times, and only one time was it hot there. It was in 2015. Germany was in a heat wave, and it was frustrating because nobody has air conditioners there.
Yeah, no, it's not like this. For us, it's different because here it's so hot, and when you go inside, it's so cold. So weird for us, for my family. First week, my wife got a little bit sick of it because it's new for us, the AC and everything. Told my wife I never expect like this because 37 degrees yesterday in German. I don't know the...
It was like 102.
Yeah, really like this. Hot, yes. Yeah, you understand? It was so hot, but today is a little bit better. So LA has to play with this weather as well. So it's okay.
When you were young, I know soccer, football is a big thing for most of the youth to play in Germany. But how did you get started? Did you follow a brother? A lot of guys here who played followed a big brother.
For me, my father played football. My whole family, my brother played football. My father was my first coach. Since I'm 4, I start playing football, a small club in Braunschweig, next to Hanover. And yeah, that was the reason I always loved football. I love to play with my friends. And in the youth, under 15, I was playing on the 6. So yeah, like on the 6 or left back. To play in the MLS, since the last years, it was a dream to play here because many more players from Europe comes to America because the league is getting bigger and bigger, the team's getting better and better, and yeah, it's so nice.
How big a thing was it? Did you thought about MLS for a long time, or?
Yeah, it was like the last 2-3 years, I was speaking with my wife, and she was like, yeah, maybe we want to go to America because, yeah, also for my son, he's turning 2 in October, so for him, it's also good to learn the language and everything, to see something different, because our whole life, we lived in Germany, so yeah, it's a big adventure, and in this league, in this stadium, in this city, I think it will be good.
I mean, when Lutz first contacts you, was there any, were you like, okay, here I go, I'm on the... You
know. Yes, it was like this, because when an offer comes from a good club in MLS, maybe you want to think about it, and then Lutz told my agent and was like, yeah, there are a lot of Germans, to make it easy for us at the beginning is also important. And yeah, I think we made the right decision because now everything is good.
Did you know any of these guys on this team before?
Yeah, the German guys like Edu, Sedi, Cello, Roman a little bit, Tomas, I played with him in Cologne, Joachim a little bit from the Bundesliga, so a lot of guys.
How long have you been here now? Like, have you been here not a month?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
It happens fast.
Yeah.
And you find out how big America is when you fly out to play games in Portland.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you don't change time zones, I don't think, either, right?
That's also a difference because in Germany, the longest flight is like 1 hour from Munich to Hamburg.
This has got to be eye-opening.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
So in Germany, everything is different. Like the streets, the so much bigger, the parking spots everywhere, so much bigger. And Germany is so close, so everything is different. But I like it, really.
You're a little one. You mentioned you have a little one. It's 2. Yeah. Is he kicking at a ball yet? Yes, looking what daddy does?
Yeah. He's not left foot like me, but he's right foot. But yeah, he wants to play football all the time. And now he start to speak some words. It's so nice. Today they will go back to Germany to do some stuff in Germany, like with my old house and stuff like this. But in some weeks they will come back to St. Louis. And yeah, I can't wait to see them.
For a couple of games now, I would peek on the TV screen and see you sitting on the bench with City. You weren't playing just yet for the team. Had some time to assess the team before playing with them. What were you thinking going in, looking at a team that had a remarkable year last year, crazy good year, and is honestly struggling this season, had a ton of injuries. What's your assessment before you hit the pitch with them this last game?
I heard they were in first position the whole year and then they lost against Kansas. And yeah, it's crazy because I see the team in training and we are better than Portland, in my opinion. And yeah, I hope that we can show this on Sunday. LA is a very good team, of course, but we can win and we train hard. We're not afraid of LA or anything like this. I know this season is not our best season at the moment, but we can still reach the playoffs, and that's our goal.
What was it like for you to get in the game on Saturday?
It was different for me because I never played on turf. For me, the first half was good because we were 3-1 in front, and then the second half we stayed so deep and they shot so many times on our goal. And yeah, we want to change this. We want to defend better, and that's why I'm here. I want to help the team with my experience from the German league, bring in my left foot with some crosses, make some assists and, yeah, helped the team with my mentality as well.
Took you 20 minutes to get a yellow card?
Yeah. That's okay. I think last year I got also like 9 yellow cards, so that's my type of playing. Yeah, I want to be aggressive. I want to be present.
I read in an article that one of the things they highlighted about you was your passing accuracy. It reminds me of Joachim Nielsen, who also talked about liking to be sure he can distribute from the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year I played center back in Germany, but the years before I always play as a left back. Yeah, I like to open the game from behind, do a lot of crosses. I like to play more on the left side because then I think I'm fast and I can go straight the line, run a lot, make some crosses, and think my biggest strength is my left foot. So I hope you will see it on Sunday.
So what's been adapting to American soccer, the MLS, from playing in the Bundesliga, from playing in Germany?
It's a lot more physical, a lot of more strength, do some weights and everything. That's more here in America than in Germany. But at the end, it's soccer, you know, so it's the same. The quality is good in our team.
What do you like to do off the field when you're not playing?
Going to the Forest Park with my son, with my wife, in good restaurants with my family. We love to have some good food. Normally, we go a lot of times to cinema, but here it's difficult for us because it's only in English, but maybe we want to go to cinema someday.
Has it helped having so many Germans on this team?
Yeah, it's good because Marcel and Sadie, they also have kids, so it's perfect. We are like a big group. The American guys are so good to me. The team, they made it so easy for me to come in. We were at Joachim's house. He made some good pasta for us. So, yeah, everything is good.
He's almost German. Yeah,
he's almost German, but he also has kids and everything's good at the moment.
Well, that's important too, because we know about people who come over, but their families feel lonely. Yeah. They're by themselves. And it sounds like that is the case. That's really important for you to know that you can perform here and your family's being taken care of and being welcomed at home.
Yes, 100%. Because I'm a family man. At the moment, they are very happy because, yeah, it's good with everything here. So, yeah.
That was new St. Louis City defender Giannis Horn. Look forward to seeing if he gets into the LA Galaxy game on Sunday. More to come. We've got laws of the game to review with George Gansner. That's next on KMOX.
Now, laws of the game.
Jennifer Sees back with you here on the St. Louis City Soccer Report, joined now by George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee. George, welcome back to the show. It's been a little bit, and there's a lot of bit to talk about. The first one I'd like to ask you about is the call from Portland, 90+3 red card on Felipe Mora. Portland Timbers player shown a red card for violent conduct.
Yeah, it's really a shame that Felipe did that. He had a really solid match against St. Louis City. And then, unfortunately made a bad decision. He very easily could have pulled his foot up and got over the top of Chris Durkin's head. Instead, he chose to not do that. And that's a clear violent conduct. And I thought the referee crew handled it really well.
So not as I saw around socials, like accident, not accident.
No,
these are pros. That's on purpose.
Nothing happens. Nothing at that level happens by accident. Nothing. Zero. And so the players can tell you that, but the reality is that their bodies are in control. They know exactly what they're doing. And if you look, if you want to see why I say it's not an accident, if you look back at the replay, Felipe Mora looks down at Chris Durkin right before he decides not to raise his leg and get over the top of him. So there's a clear intent, and he's just hoping the referee thinks it's an accident. But his head looking down tells you very clearly that it's not an accident.
So how does the referee crew, and I am including VAR in this too, who's probably watching this, I'm sure, make sure that an incident like that, besides giving, of course, the red card, doesn't blow up into something that's already heated, it's already a tense game, people are tired, players are tired, fans are rowdy, happy and not happy with some calls. Is the red card enough, or is there other management happening?
Yeah, there's other management happening. So you got to remember that the referees are completely neutral, right? They're not getting excited because a team gets excited about something that happens. A player gets excited about something that happens. Their job is to remain calm and neutral, and they don't have a horse in the race. So you don't, as a referee, you don't get leaned one way or another because the crowd got excited. You know that maybe the play got...
The Y98 St. Louis City Soccer Report continues on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Uh-oh, into the box is Moreno off the corner. He centers. They get a shot. It's blocked at the last second by Hort. Another one, and Giannis steps in front. Oh, two on the doorstep. Giannis Horn bails us out in his team debut twice.
Yep, that was Giannis Horn, as you could hear, double shot block as he came into the game. He actually subbed in later in the game, kind of made his MLS debut. He subbed in, I'm looking at here at the minute that he came in late, was a 69th minute, came in for Jay Reed at the left back, got some action right away, got some action later, saving not only Roman Berkey, but Giannis Horn saving what we had as a tie. That was 90 plus 12 minutes of added time in that. That's something else we can ask George Gansner in the laws of the game next. But Tom Timmerman and I got a chance to, with the Post-Dispatch, got a chance to talk to Giannis after practice yesterday, and he told us a little bit about how he was settling in.
It's good. Everything is new for me. First time in a new country with my family. The facility is perfect. The stadium is perfect. We love the city. Some good restaurants. We found an apartment. Everything is good at the moment.
And it's a hot day today. Yeah. I myself have visited Germany 3 times, and only one time was it hot there. It was in 2015. Germany was in a heat wave, and it was frustrating because nobody has air conditioners there.
Yeah, no, it's not like this. For us, it's different because here it's so hot, and when you go inside, it's so cold. So weird for us, for my family. First week, my wife got a little bit sick of it because it's new for us, the AC and everything. Told my wife I never expect like this because 37 degrees yesterday in German. I don't know the...
It was like 102.
Yeah, like this. Yeah, you understand? It was so hot, but today is a little bit better. So LA has to play with this weather as well. So it's okay.
When you were young, I know soccer, football is a big thing for most of the youth to play in Germany. But how did you get started? Did you follow a brother? A lot of guys here who played followed a big brother.
For me, my father played football. My whole family, my brother played football. My father was my first coach. Since I'm 4, I start playing football, a small club in Braunschweig, next to Hanover. And yeah, that was the reason I always loved football. I love to play with my friends. And in the youth, under 15, I was playing on the 6. So yeah, like on the 6 or left back. To play in the MLS, since the last years, it was a dream to play here because many more players from Europe comes to America because the league is getting bigger and bigger, the team's getting better and better, and yeah, it's so nice.
How big a thing was it? Did you thought about MLS for a long time, or?
Yeah, it was like the last 2-3 years, I was speaking with my wife, and she was like, yeah, maybe we want to go to America because, yeah, also for my son, he's turning 2 in October, so for him, it's also good to learn the language and everything, to see something different, because our whole life, we lived in Germany, so yeah, it's a big adventure, and in this league, in this stadium, in this city, I think it will be good.
I mean, when Lutz first contacts you, was there any, were you like, okay, here I go, I'm on the... You know.
Yes, it was like this, because when an offer comes from a good club in MLS, maybe you want to think about it, and then Lutz told my agent and was like, yeah, there are a lot of Germans, to make it easy for us at the beginning is also important, and yeah, I think we made the right decision, because now everything is good.
Did you know any of these guys on this team before?
Yeah, the German guys like Edu, Sedi, Cello, Roman a little bit, Tomas, I played with him in Cologne, Joachim a little bit from the Bundesliga, so a lot of guys.
How long have you been here now? Like, have you been here not a month?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
It happens fast.
Yeah.
And you find out how big America is when you fly out to play games in Portland.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you don't change time zones, I don't think, either, right?
That's also a difference, because in Germany, the longest flight is like 1 hour from Munich to Hamburg.
This has got to be eye-opening.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
So in Germany, everything is different, like the streets, the so much bigger, the parking spots everywhere, so much bigger. And Germany is so close, so everything is different, but I like it, really.
You're a little one. You mentioned you have a little one. It's 2. Yeah. Is he kicking at a ball yet? Yes, looking what not, daddy does?
Yeah. He's not left foot like me, but he's right foot. But yeah, he wants to play football all the time. And now he start to speak some words. It's so nice. Today they will go back to Germany to do some stuff in Germany, like with my old house and stuff like this. But in some weeks they will come back to St. Louis. And yeah, I can't wait to see them.
For a couple of of games now, I would peek on the TV screen and see you sitting on the bench with City. You weren't playing just yet for the team. Had some time to assess the team before playing with them. What were you thinking going in, looking at a team that had a remarkable year last year, crazy good year, and is honestly struggling this season, had a ton of injuries? What's your assessment before you hit the pitch with them this last game?
I heard they were in first position the whole year, and then they lost against Kansas. And yeah, it's crazy because I see the team in training, and we are better than Portland, in my opinion. And yeah, I hope that we can show this on Sunday. LA is a very good team, of course, but we can win, and we train hard. We're not afraid of LA or anything like this. I know this season is not our best season at the moment, but we can still reach the playoffs, and that's our goal.
What was it like for you to get in the game on Saturday?
It was different for me because I never played on turf. For me, the first half was good because we are 3-1 in front, and then the second half we stand so deep and they shot so many times on our goal. And yeah, we want to change this. We want to defend better, and that's why I'm here. I want to help the team with my experience from the German league, bring in my left foot with some crosses, make some assists, and yeah, help the team with my mentality as well.
Took you 20 minutes to get a yellow card?
Yeah. That's okay. I think last year I got also like 9 yellow cards, so that's my type of playing. Yeah, I want to be aggressive. I want to be present.
I read in an article that one of the things they highlighted about you was your passing accuracy. Yes. It reminds me of Joachim Nielsen, who also talked about liking to be sure he can distribute from the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year I played center back in Germany, but the years before I always play as a left back. Yeah, I like to open the game from behind, do a lot of crosses. I like to play more on the left side because then I think I'm fast and I can go straight the line, run a lot, make some crosses, and think my biggest strength is my left foot. So I hope you will see it on Sunday.
So what's been adapting to American soccer, the MLS, from playing in the Bundesliga, from playing in Germany?
It's a lot more physical, a lot of more strength, do some weights and everything. That's more here in America than in Germany. But at the end, it's soccer, you know, so it's the same. The quality is good in our team.
What do you like to do off the field when you're not playing?
Going to the Forest Park with my son, with my wife, in good restaurants with my family. We love to have some good food. Normally we go a lot of times to cinema, but here it's difficult for us because it's only in English, but maybe we want to go to cinema someday.
Has it helped having so many Germans on this team?
Yeah, it's good because Marcel and Sadie, they also have kids, so it's perfect. We are like a big group. The American guys are so good to me. The team, they made it so easy for me to come in. We were at Joachim's house. He made some good pasta for us. So yeah, everything is good.
He's almost German.
Yeah, he's almost German, but he also has kids and everything's good at the moment.
Well, that's important too, because we know about people who come over, but their families feel lonely. Yeah. They're by themselves. And it sounds and sound like that is the case. That's really important for you to know that you can perform here and your family's being taken care of and being welcomed at home.
Yes, 100%. Because I'm a family man. At the moment, they are very happy because, yeah, it's good with everything here. So, yeah.
That was new St. Louis City defender Giannis Horn. Look forward to seeing if he gets into the LA Galaxy game on Sunday. More to come. We've got laws of the game to review with George Gansner. That's next on KMOX.
Now, laws of the game.
Jennifer Sees back with you here on the St. Louis City Soccer Report, joined now by George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee. George, welcome back to the show. It's been a little bit, and there's a lot of bit to talk about. The first one I'd like to ask you about is the call from Portland, 90+3 red card on Felipe Mora, Portland Timbers player shown a red card for violent conduct.
Yeah, it's really a shame that Felipe did that. He had a really solid match against St. Louis City. And then unfortunately made a bad decision. He very easily could have pulled his foot up and got over the top of Chris Durkin's head. Instead, he chose to not do that. And that's a clear violent conduct. And I thought the referee crew handled it really well.
So not, as I saw around socials, like accident, not accident.
No,
these are pros. That's on purpose.
Nothing happens. Nothing at that level happens by accident. Nothing. Zero. And so the players can tell you that. But the reality is that their bodies are in control. They know exactly what they're doing. And if you look if you want to see why I say it's not an accident, if you look back at the replay, Felipe Mora looks down at Chris Durkin right before he decides not to raise his leg and get over the top of him. So there's a clear intent, and he's just hoping the referee thinks it's an accident. But his head looking down tells you very clearly that it's not an accident.
So how does the referee crew, and I am including VAR in this too, who's probably watching this, I'm sure, make sure that an incident like that, besides giving, of course, the red card, doesn't blow up into something that's already heated, it's already a tense game, people are tired, players are tired, fans are rowdy, happy and not happy with some calls. Is the red card enough, or is there other management happening?
Yeah, there's other management happening. So you got to remember that the referees are completely neutral, right? They're not getting excited because a team gets excited about something that happens. A player gets excited about something that happens. Their job is to remain calm and neutral, and they don't have a horse in the race. So you don't, as a referee, you don't get leaned one way or another because the crowd got excited. You know that maybe the play is getting a little bit more tense. You understand that, but you're calm. You know how to handle that at that level. And so, you know, they're very lucky in this case, I guess, because they have VAR. We didn't used to have that when I was in the league. So, you know, that decision happens because you've gone through all this time of understanding what's going on, understanding the cues to look for with the players. And it's very clear. The referee was right in proximity of it happening. And again, they have VAR to confirm it, but I don't believe VAR needed to confirm it. He showed the red card right away.
Okay, let's talk about also that offside, the offside that was called back by VAR. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, you know, I thought the referee crew did a really good job. In fact,
I'm trying to actually remember what minute it was, and I think I have it written in a highlight, but it's one of those that was in a game full of highlights, it was quickly forgotten.
Right? I want to say it was like 86 or 87, somewhere in there. It could have been 83, 84. But the only thing that bothered me from the referee crew about that is I don't believe the assistant referee actually raised the flag. So there was voice communication. Lack of the flag going up is a challenge. But in any case, the forward, and I don't remember who the Portland forward was, he was in the line of sight. So he's in an offside position, right? You're not offside just because you're in an offside position. He is in an offside position when the ball is played. So he doesn't ever, he does head the ball in. So he's not only in the line of sight of the goalkeeper, but he interferes with play. So he's actually meeting two of the criteria. You only need to meet one, but he's meeting one criteria of he's interfering with the goalkeeper and the line of sight. He's interfering with play also because he heads the ball and you know, at that level, you pretty much have to touch the ball. If you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about, was it Mallory Swanson I can't remember the other one, Smith, who ran onto the ball but never touched it and allowed the teammate to continue.
Yeah, left it on purpose. Left it on purpose. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is exact opposite of that case where he's going to get in trouble for offside even if he ducks because he's in the line of sight of the goalkeeper, but he actually interferes with play by heading the ball.
All right. Thanks, George. More to come. Keep your eyes peeled and tuned into LA Galaxy. I think definitely is going to be an intense game. It's an afternoon game. Dale Schilley already talked about tailgating ahead of time. Not us, but fans. Probably going to be a rowdy and a hot one and one that's on the line for City.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jen.
That was George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee with the league. He did a lot of these games, did a lot of these situations. Always good to hear his perspective on the calls. Well, that's hour number one. Hour number one is down. Thanks to our guests from Dale Schilley to hearing from Giannis Horn and, of course, George Gansner. On the flip side of the hour, we've got Ross Smith. And then we're going to flip over to the Bronze Boot and talk to the SIUE coaches about that upcoming contest, which is going to be a lot of fun at City Park. Stay tuned with us. More to come right here on the St. Louis City Soccer Report on KMOX. Next on KMOX.
Now, Laws of the Game.
Jennifer C's back with you here on the St. Louis City Soccer Report, joined now by George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee. George, welcome back to the show. It's been a little bit, and there's a lot of bit to talk about. The first one I'd like to ask you about is the call from Portland, 90+3 red card on Felipe Mora. Portland Timbers player shown a red card for violent conduct.
Yeah, it's really a shame that Felipe did that. He had a really solid match against St. Louis City. And then, you know, unfortunately made a bad decision. He very easily could have pulled his foot up and got over the top of Chris Durkin's head. Instead, he chose to not do that. And that's a clear violent conduct. And I thought the referee crew handled it really well.
So not, as I saw around socials, like accident, not accident.
No,
these are pros. That's on purpose.
Nothing happens. Nothing at that level happens by accident. Nothing. Zero. And so the players can tell you that. But the reality is that their bodies are in control. They know exactly what they're doing. And if you look, if you want to see why I say it's not an accident, if you look back at the replay, Felipe Mora looks down at Chris Durkin right before he decides not to raise his leg and get over the top of him. So there's a clear intent. And he's just hoping the referee thinks it's an accident. But his head looking down tells you very clearly that it's not an accident.
So how does the referee crew, and I am including VAR in this too, who's probably watching this, I'm sure, make sure that an incident like that, besides giving, of course, the red card, doesn't blow up into something that's already heated, it's already a tense game, people are tired, players are tired, fans are rowdy, happy and not happy with some calls. Is the red card enough, or is there other management happening?
Yeah, there's other management happening. So you got to remember that the referees are completely neutral, right? They're not getting excited because a team gets excited about something that happens. A player gets excited about something that happens. Their job is to remain calm and neutral, and they don't have a horse in the race. So you don't, as a referee, you don't get leaned one way or another because the crowd got excited. You know that maybe the play is getting a little bit more tense. You understand that, but you're calm. You know how to handle that at that level. And so, you know, they're very lucky in this case, I guess, because they have VAR. We didn't used to have that when I was in the league. So, you know, that decision happens because you've gone through all this time of understanding what's going on, understanding the cues to look for with the players. And it's very clear. The referee was right in proximity of it happening. And again, they have VAR to confirm it, but I don't believe VAR needed to confirm it. He showed the red card right away.
Okay, let's talk about also that offside. The offside that was called back by VAR. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, you know, I thought the referee crew did a really good job. In fact,
I'm trying to actually remember what minute it was, and I think I have it written in a highlight, but it's one of those that was in a game full of highlights. It was quickly forgotten.
right? I want to say it was like 86 or 87, somewhere in there. It could have been 83, 84. But the only thing that bothered me from the referee crew about that is I don't believe the assistant referee actually raised the flag. So there was voice communication. Lack of the flag going up is a challenge. But in any case, the forward, and I don't remember who the Portland forward was, he was in the line of sight. So he's in an offside position, right? You're not offside just because you're in an offside position. He is in an offside position when the ball is played. So he doesn't ever, he does head the ball in. So he's not only in the line of sight of the goalkeeper, but he interferes with play. So he's actually meeting two of the criteria. You only need to meet one, but he's meeting one criteria of he's interfering with the goalkeeper and the line of sight. He's interfering with play also because he heads the ball and you know, at that level, you pretty much have to touch the ball. If you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about, was it Mallory Swanson I can't remember the other one, Smith, who ran onto the ball but never touched it and allowed the teammate to continue.
Yeah, left it on purpose. Left it on purpose. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is exact opposite of that case where he's going to get in trouble for offside even if he ducks because he's in the line of sight of the goalkeeper, but he actually interferes with play by heading the ball.
All right. Thanks, George. More to come. Keep your eyes peeled and tuned into LA Galaxy. I think definitely is going to be an intense game. It's an afternoon game. Dale Schilley already talked about tailgating ahead of time. Not us, but fans. Probably going to be a rowdy and a hot one and one that's on the line for City.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jen.
That is George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee. with the league. He did a lot of these games, did a lot of these situations. Always good to hear his perspective on the calls. Well, that's hour number one. Hour number one is down, thanks to our guests from Dale Schilly to hearing from Yannis Horn and, of course, George Gansner. On the flip side of the hour, we've got Ross Smith, and then we're going to flip over to the Bronze Boot and talk to the SIUE coaches about that upcoming contest, which is going to be a lot of fun at City Park. Stay tuned with us. More to come right here on the St. Louis City Soccer Report on KMOX.